You're now listening to the TaxSmart REI Podcast, the number one tax podcast for real estate investors.
Your source for all things real estate, accounting, and tax. Here we reveal our secrets that can save you thousands in taxes, streamline your accounting process, and help grow your business. Stay tuned to hear insightful interviews with industry experts, successful real estate investors, and current clients on what strategies they use to grow their business and how they steer clear of Uncle Sam.
Hey, thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the TaxSmart REI Podcast. Today, Ryan and I are going to break down how simply investing in rental real estate reduces your effective tax rate and puts you in a very favorable tax position, even without offsetting non-passive income such as W-2 income or income from an active trader business. And this is critically important because we work with a lot of investors who, once they realize that they can't use the real estate professional status or perhaps don't want to invest in short-term rentals, they start to believe that real estate won't actually help them reduce taxes. And that cannot be further from the truth. So we're going to break down a brief overview of the U.S. tax system, the critical role of depreciation in shielding income from tax, what is your effective tax rate and how can it be calculated, how passive investors build tax-free income through real estate, and ways to minimize the impact of depreciation recapture. If you're concerned that using the real estate professional status or investing in short-term rentals is the only way to minimize taxes, then this episode is for you, and we're going to be diving into all of this in just 1 minute. Hey, are you ready to discover how to use real estate to build tax-free wealth? Well, this year, we're taking our annual summit to the next level by incorporating wealth-building strategies alongside our traditional tax and legal insights. Thus, we proudly introduced the 2024 Tax, Legal, and Wealth Summit for real estate investors taking place May 17th, 18th, and 19th, right from the comfort of your own home. This extraordinary free 3-day virtual event is meticulously designed to arm you with the strategies the 1% use to cultivate tax-free wealth through real estate. Whether you want to build, safeguard, or grow your wealth, this summit is your golden ticket. Visit www.taxandlegalsummit.com to reserve your free tickets today. Again, that's www.taxandlegalsummit.com to reserve your free tickets. We'll see you there, but for now, we'll dive right into today's episode. All right, and we're back. And before we jump right into today's episode, we're going to do a brief recap or clarification on backdoor reps, which is on episode 268 of the TaxSmart REI podcast, that we had some questions, some confusion around that. So we're going to go ahead and touch on that. If you don't care about this part, go ahead, just skip right ahead. We'll be diving into the meat of today's episode in about 2 or 3 minutes. So backdoor reps, long story short, we did an episode on episode 268 covering a concept that we dubbed backdoor reps. And there was some confusion and some questions from TaxSmart insiders or TaxSmart investors as a whole on how this concept works and really making it click. So I'm going to go quickly through how it works. Then I'm going to cover what we're going to be doing with it going forward. And then I'll touch on a little bit about some other details. All right, so let's go ahead and just dive right into this. So here's how it works. When you have a rental property, as we know by now, if you're a longtime listener to the show, all rental activities are passive by default. That means losses from the rental activities can only offset other passive income, such as income from other rental activities, or perhaps other passive activities you might be involved in, like passive businesses. The only way to really turn these losses non-passive, and I'm speaking to specifically long-term rental properties, if we're not talking about short-term rentals right now, is to qualify for the real estate professional status. When you qualify for the real estate professional status, your rental losses are now non-passive and can offset your W-2, your business income, and other non-passive income sources. All right, now to qualify as a real estate professional, you have to spend 750 hours, more than half total working time. Very challenging for your typical investor to qualify. However, when you sell your property, your passive losses are unlocked, quote unquote, and they will become non-passive and they can offset your non-passive income, such as your W-2 or ordinary business income, which can be taxed at rates up to 37%. And when you sell your property, so you're going to unlock those passive losses, going to offset your non-passive income, and then you're going to have capital gains and perhaps depreciation recapture from the sale of your property, which are generally taxed at lower rates. Capital gains are taxed at a rate up to 20%, and depreciation recapture can differ a little bit, up to 25% on the straight line and ordinary on the other. But the point is that when you sell your property, your passive losses become unlocked. They become non-passive, which is what reps does, albeit on the front end of the transaction when you typically first buy a property. But with backdoor reps, it does it on the back end. When you sell it, it unlocks it and turns it non-passive. And this is a widely misunderstood concept, and this is the reason why we're bringing this to light. But really, when we step back and think about this entire concept we're talking about here, backdoor reps, is part of an overarching tax strategy that we've also covered here on the show numerous times, the lazy 1031 exchange or 1031 exchange lite. And with this strategy, the lazy 1031 or the 1031 exchange light, you're selling a property and you're going to expect a capital gain from it. And you're going and buying another property to generate current passive losses that can offset the quote unquote gain on sale, or at least that's the way it's understood by many. Or you could use suspended passive losses to offset from previous years to offset the gain on sale. So that's the lazy 1031 exchange. And backdoor reps is really the mechanic within the lazy 1031 exchange that turns it non-passive. And the reason why we had to bring this to light is because many people, investors and tax professionals included, believe that when you sell your property, that the passive losses offset the capital gains. And that's not quite the case. The capital gains are not what's actually being offset by your passive losses. It is the ordinary income. Okay? That is backdoor reps in a nutshell. And I think during the episode, because it's so technical and we didn't have examples with tax returns and all that, I think some people got a little lost and didn't quite click. But the bottom line is backdoor reps is when you sell your property, your passive losses get unlocked to the extent of the gain, but offset your ordinary income and not your capital gains. So that's backdoor reps. However, going forward, we will be simply referring to it within the lazy 1031 exchange strategy. It'll just be clarified when speaking about that strategy because of some of the confusion that came around about why it was called backdoor reps, because it has nothing to do with reps apparently, but what backdoor reps does for you, it turns your losses non-passive on the back end, which is what reps does on the front end. So that's why it was called backdoor reps. Having said that though, we spent 5 minutes, more than I want to spend on this. We're going to dive right into the meat of today's episode, which again is breaking down how investing in rental real estate reduces your effective tax rate, even without reps or the short-term rental loophole. And to set the stage for this, we first need to quickly review how the U.S. tax system works. Ryan, would you mind just giving us kind of a brief breakdown of how the U.S. tax system works, especially on earned income or W-2 and business income?
Yeah, a couple ways that we can break this down. Number one is kind of non-passive and passive. Kind of just start with non-passive. You might think about, like you said, Tom, your W-2 income. You might think about business profit, things like that. And that kind of income is, again, non-passive, and it's going to be subject to federal income tax, state income tax, if that's relevant to you, and then FICA, or self-employment tax, kind of synonymous phrases there. That's the 15.3% tax that we're talking about. So we've got those kind of main categories, again, generally being non-passive from what we're talking about. And then we've got, say, the passive, okay, and that's generally rental properties and or passive investments in businesses. The unique thing as far as the tax world or the tax rate in there is that rental properties are not subject to FICA or self-employment tax of 15.3%. The only time that that could potentially be the case commonly would be like a hotel, motel, or a short-term rental where you're providing substantial services. That then could become subject to self-employment tax, but obviously a lot more rare for a lot of our listeners here. So those are kind of the main two categories. Earned income, again, all three of those, federal state income plus FICA tax, and then rental properties, again, generally being passive, essentially just not subject to FICA self-employment tax.
Absolutely. And that's a great breakdown. And just to kind of give a quick summary of that for everybody, when you have a job, you're going to be paying taxes at the federal level up to 37%, at the state level up to 13.3% in the state of California. And then again, if you have a job, you're going to be paying FICA taxes up to a certain amount of your income of 7.65%. And if you're self-employed, you get the luxury of paying both sides of the FICA taxes, so a total of 15.3%. And when you add all of this up, if you're a high-income earner, you can easily be paying 40 to 50% of each additional dollar you earn in taxes. And that's quite painful, right? Again, you know, if we give a quick example here, right? We'll go deeper into this example, but if you were to be making $500K, for example, if you're a high-income earner and you're in the state of New York, you can easily be paying an effective tax rate of up to 42.86% on that income. And that's painful. That could amount to taxes, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's painful to watch that happen, but that's the reality of earned income.
Hey, are you tired of working with generalist CPAs that tell you you can't use the real estate professional status, the short-term rental loophole,
or cost segregation studies, or worse, have no idea what these things are? If so, it's time to elevate your game and work with a CPA firm that gets it. Here at Hull CPA, we've worked with thousands of investors, helping them save millions of dollars in taxes through proactive tax strategy and planning, tax preparation, and outsourced accounting solutions. So if you're ready to elevate your game, make tax filing painless, and save thousands of dollars in taxes, what are you waiting for? Just head on over to www.therealestatecpa.com/podcast to request an initial consultation today. We are accepting clients for the 2023 and 2024 tax years, so if you're looking to make a change, you have nothing to lose. Again, you can request an initial consultation by visiting www.therealestatecpa.com/podcast. We look forward to hearing from you and learning more about your situation and how we can help. But for now, we'll dive right back into today's episode. All right. So now we know how earned income works and how heavily taxed it can be. It could be quite painful. Ryan, would you be able to kind of just give us a quick breakdown of how depreciation works and how it helps real estate investors reduce their taxes?
Yeah. So it's probably best to use an example, and we'll try to keep it as simple as possible. So we'll take an example of someone that's earning, say, W-2 or business profit. And we'll take the real estate investor. So first, just the W-2 business profit. Let's just pretend that's $55,000. Okay. And again, to keep this simple, we'll assume that they're making or going to be taxed at 40%. That would come to total tax of $22,000. Okay. Can be painful, right? As your income increases, that rate could get higher and so forth. But now let's take the real estate investor. And let's just pretend you're kind of imagine like a P&L, right? $100,000 in rental income, rental revenue, minus, let's say, $45,000 of ordinary expenses. That's now going to get us to a net operating income before any sort of depreciation of, again, that same 55 to try to keep the example as apples to apples as possible. But now you might assume, hey, maybe we have $60,000 of depreciation, which non-cash expense. And now that's actually going to show a net loss for tax purposes of -$5,000. And therefore, we've completely eliminated any sort of tax liability from that property. Okay. So now, right, $22,000 in tax for the business profit or W-2 earner and zero tax, 0% that's going on now for the rental property specifically. So the power of the depreciation, just even on its own, is so invaluable compared to, say, a W-2 earner who isn't going to be able to tap into that like a real estate investor is.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. And so just to kind of summarize, recap that. So basically, let's say, for example, that you had $55,000 in net income from your W-2 job. You pay $22,000 in taxes on that, assuming you're at a 40% tax rate. We're keeping that number nice and simple here. However, if you were to generate the same $55,000 in cash flow, using the example Ryan just provided, you're paying $0 on that income. So you're telling the IRS, hey, I lost money on this, but yet you put $55,000 into your pocket. And I want to pause here for a second and just say, this is one of the major benefits of investing in real estate. You're able to generate income and shield it from tax, something that's very challenging to do with earned income. This is a big takeaway. I just understand that if you're in rental real estate, you're already putting yourself in a fantastic tax position, even without reps and without the short-term rental loophole. But I'm going to go ahead and dive into this here. I'm going to break down how this actually reduces your effective tax rate. So just briefly, I'm going to describe what your effective tax rate is. Then we'll dive into the example. So your effective tax rate is the amount of taxes you pay. So say, for example, $100,000 in taxes versus how much income that you make. And before I dive into a more in-depth example here, I'll give you a quick example of how this $100,000 example works here. So let's just say that you paid $100,000 in taxes and you earned $500,000 in income. All right. Your effective tax rate in this example would be 20%. It would be much higher than that, but just trying to keep the numbers clean. Now, let's just say that you generated $100,000 in rental income. So you built up this nice portfolio, it's passive, and you have all these passive losses, you're offsetting all your rental income. So now you added that another $100,000. Now you're paying $100,000 in taxes, right? But now you have $600,000 in income. And your effective tax rate dropped from 20% to 16.67%. All right, the more income you're generating from the passive side, so say it was $700,000. Again, I'm just using these to paint the picture. All right. Now, if you had $700,000 in income, again, this would be $500,000 from your W-2, whatever the case is. And you're now have $700,000, $200,000 from your rental properties. Now, your effective tax rate is now 14.28%. So the bottom line here is the more income that you generate from your rentals relative to the amount of tax that you're paying, your effective tax rate will continue to decrease, effectively reducing the amount of taxes you're paying. And this is, again, in and of itself, I can't say it enough, is super powerful for real estate investors. Ryan, do you have any comments you want to add in there?
Yeah, and just to highlight again, that effective tax rate we're talking about is without real estate professional status or the short-term rental strategy. Obviously, we've had tons of episodes about that, and you can go back and listen to them. But coming back to your main question here, Tom, so the way that I like to see it, right, going back to the very beginning part of our podcast, we've got non-passive, call it like a flywheel kind of a thing. And then we've got passive as a different kind of flywheel, two main buckets. And this is obviously for tax purposes. But as you're young and you're working, right, you're really got a lot of your effort and time and money coming into that non-passive flywheel, if you want to call it that. And you've got that accumulating, maybe that's increasing over time. And the effectiveness of using real estate over time, at least to me, is that part of this flywheel is essentially taking some of that income and moving it towards this other hand called the passive flywheel, aka real estate, right? So over time, this is kind of accelerating over here, but also this is starting to move as well. And over time, this is going to slow down. Like, right, if you think about real estate over many, many decades, you are eventually going to have this really big pool of money, a lot of your retirement, a lot of assets, a lot of income and things coming over here. And this is going to start to slow down as you move towards retirement, right? So over time, as you think about your life and kind of your working career, over time, you're kind of siphoning off more and more to the passive side. And as you think about the effectiveness for what we're talking about, lowering that effective tax rate, you could eventually be having this very efficient flywheel where effectively you've got very little to no taxable income being shown, again, for tax purposes, lots of distributions, lots of cash flow to yourself, but continuing to use either that normal depreciation or continuing to go and buy another property every year with some of that excess cash flow from your real estate, and then doing another, say, cost segregation study. Now we've got additional losses to continue to offset that year's profit. And so it becomes very efficient. And you had just, again, a couple minutes ago, Tom, kind of talked about like this reduction in effectiveness, effective tax rate, I should say. So the more you can just move towards where you were kind of leading us, Tom, you can see that the lower your tax rate can be, and it could literally get to zero. Okay, we have seen that where investors have dozens of properties and they're continuing to do cost segregation studies for depreciation, offsetting any sort of taxable income from their properties. So continuing to move in that direction, again, even without real estate professional status or the short-term rental strategy, real estate overall can be very, very effective and efficient when it comes to saving on taxes.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful strategy. I mean, this is what I use in my investing strategy. So again, the way this works is you have your earned income, which is taxed at high tax rates. We just talked up to 37%, and you have all the state and stuff like that. It can easily be between 40 and 50. And we see this all the time, especially with people in New York, people in California, where there's high state tax rates, perhaps local taxes, where you might be paying a substantial amount of your earned income in taxes. However, as you start investing into passive income sources like real estate, whether it be a direct property you own, or it be a syndicate or fund, whatever the case is, you're now generating income, but you're not paying taxes on this. So it's a much more effective vehicle. And as your income in that passive bucket starts to increase, because you're not paying taxes on it, your effective tax rate decreases because your income is increasing relative to the amount of taxes you're paying. So this is one of the core benefits of real estate. I know I said that like three times now, but I have to keep hammering it home because it's that big of a deal. And like Ryan was saying, is if you do this enough over time, you'll eventually be in a bucket. You'll be in a point where you reach quote unquote financial freedom, where your passive income, which is sheltered from tax, right, is eclipsing or is exceeding perhaps the amount of income that you're earning through your job or business. And there's a lot of people out there who use this strategy, right, who simply just invest in passive income sources using their earned income, and they end up in a very solid tax position. And we just walk through a nice example of the effective tax rate and how that works. All right, so that's kind of the point. That's what we're trying to drive here today, that you don't need reps. You don't need the short-term rental loophole to save money on taxes, even if you're a high-income earner. And look, if you can use the real estate professional status to turn losses non-passive, great. That's fantastic. And use it against your ordinary income or your earned income to save additional taxes there. That's fantastic. That's icing on the cake. Same thing with the short-term rental loophole or short-term rental strategy. That's another effective way. If you can use it, you can stack these strategies on top of each other. They're not mutually exclusive. You can combine them. But I've worked with so many clients over the years, seen so many investors where you'll talk to them, you walk them through how this all works. They realize they can't use reps, they can't use the short-term rental loophole, and boom, real estate just becomes all of a sudden not the shiny object or the golden ticket, perhaps, that everybody thought it was. And we just want to say that it's still very powerful even without those strategies. Those are not the end all and be all. Ryan, you have any comments on that?
I would just add in, as you were talking about that, it made me think of syndicators out there who might be pumping out, you know, hey, real estate can bring you all these tax benefits. And it could, but it really depends, right? We've talked about real estate professional status in the past. And if you can get additional losses from the syndication and use them non-passive, we've talked about that. But what we're kind of just talking about here is, even if you don't meet real estate professional status and you're investing in something like a syndication and it's going to be passive to you, right? They're likely going to have either one, the first year do a cost segregation study. And so any distributions they send out to you in that first year could have zero tax, right? And that's what we're talking about. So whether it's a syndication or whether it's something that you own 100% control, there's still tax benefits because we're going to get depreciation because we're buying an asset that is depreciable over time. So that was just the other comment I wanted to throw in there. As people think about and hear from syndicators, really real estate, passive, non-passive, has its benefits from a tax perspective.
Absolutely. Now, you know, normally when we get to this part of the conversation, people start asking, well, hey, Tom, Ryan, you know, this is all great. I'm able to shield my rental income from tax today, but I know when I eventually sell the property, I might have to be subject to depreciation recapture taxes. So the way you like to describe that for the most part is that there's a handful of reasons why taking depreciation makes sense. The first one is that depreciation is mandatory. You cannot not claim it on your tax return. If you don't claim it on your tax return, the IRS will assume you took it and then charge you depreciation recapture taxes anyway. So there's no getting around depreciation. You have to take it. Okay. The second reason is the time value of money. The time value of money states that a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. So for example, if you were able to save $10,000 in taxes thanks to depreciation, then what that $10,000 could do for you is you could take that $10,000 and reinvest it. And if you were to reinvest this $10,000 at an 8% compounded return, which is fairly conservative for real estate, normally you see it in the double digits, compounded over a 10-year period, you're going to end up with roughly $21,500, give or take. That's $11,500 that you did not have before. That money would not exist for you had you just paid the government and not used depreciation. All right. You add a zero onto that. As these numbers grow for you, that $100,000 that you just saved in taxes, compounded at an 8% rate over 10 years, ends up coming out to be roughly $215,000, give or take, when all is said and done. And that's roughly $115,000 that you did not have before. Okay. So that's the power of the time value money. And that's why taking depreciation makes sense. It's why it makes sense whether you're on the passive side, like what we just talked about here on today's episode, or even if you are using reps, if you are using the short-term rental loophole, these are all reasons why taking depreciation makes sense and using this tool. The third reason, and we'll break some of this down, is that you can defer, minimize, and perhaps in some cases, even eliminate depreciation recapture through strategic tax planning via strategic exits. So there's a handful of strategies we'll break down briefly on how you can do this. But those are the three reasons to take depreciation. Just to recap, you have to take it, A. B, the time value money allows you to take that the savings and reinvest it and continue to build your wealth. And three, depreciation recapture can be minimized upon the sale of a rental property. And look, before we break down the specific strategies, I just want to say that real estate is not a one and done thing. It's not a short-term thing. The way to look at it is not like, okay, I'm going to buy a property today, take the tax savings, and I'm done. No, the people who have built the most wealth in real estate have been in it for decades and have been using strategies like depreciation or been using deductions like depreciation and combining it with strategies like the 1031 exchange, which we'll dive into it briefly here, to shelter the gains and depreciation recapture from tax or defer it when they sell the property. So Ryan, do you have any comments on that before we start breaking down, talking a little about these exit strategies?
Well, I know some people listening might say, well, what if I didn't take depreciation in the past? You know, what can I do? And just to comment on that really briefly, and then I think let's move into exit strategies. But essentially two main options you have. Either one, if it's kind of been just a couple of years that you missed taking depreciation, you could go back and amend. That's option one. Just go back and amend your tax returns properly, get that depreciation. And number two is that you could file Form 3115 and do a 481A adjustment to catch up the depreciation that you missed. So just be aware, there are two options there. If you're like, oh, shoot, I should have, you know, been doing this all along and I didn't, well, you have some options there.
So with all of this in mind, right, we have to take depreciation. There's no way around it. And we're not going to dive into all the exit strategies that are available. We just did seven strategies that you can use, seven tax efficient exit strategies a few episodes back. Go ahead, scroll down the feed and you can listen to that entire episode if you do want a full breakdown on these strategies. But Ryan, could you just maybe take us through how the most popular strategy, or arguably the most popular exit strategy, the 1031 exchange, could help investors defer depreciation recapture on the sale and allow them to continue to grow their wealth?
Yeah. So like you're saying, you sell a property and over the time that you've owned it, you've taken depreciation. So we sell the property. There's generally going to be two main elements. We're going to focus on one for our discussion, but it's the appreciation, right? Call it capital gains. So you're paying capital gains tax. And then we've got depreciation recapture to pay depreciation recapture tax. So that's kind of mostly what we're focusing on here. And so when we sell a property, say without a 1031, we have to pay tax on all of that. Okay. But if we do a successful 1031 exchange, kind of caveat there, right? Make sure you're working with a qualified intermediary to help you with taking the proceeds and doing all that. We won't get into the details here. But if you can do that, you can then not only defer, say, the appreciation, the capital gain, but what's commonly missed is that you can defer that depreciation recapture as well. So it's all of it, the entire gain, the two elements of your gain, you can defer that. Now, if you think about a common strategy that has commonly been referenced in different names, defer, die, right? Maybe that's morbid to some of you, but that's really a strategy that people are thinking about. And as Tom has mentioned just a couple minutes ago, this is like a lifelong view in mind of using real estate to build wealth and to create income or financial freedom for yourself, just using real estate specifically as the vehicle, right? So we have this unique thing, kind of do a 1031 exchange, defer that tax, and now we're effectively moving that additional cash flow, right? Because we didn't pay it to the government in tax. We're now moving that effectively into the next investment. And now we could potentially actually buy at a higher purchase price because now we've got more of our proceeds moving there. And now we just continue to do that over the lifespan of our life. And then the die part, which maybe is morbid again, but you continue to do this until your death. Now all this potential kind of growth of, again, depreciation recapture and the capital gain over your lifespan, you give that over to your heirs. They will receive a step up in basis at the fair market value of the date of your death, okay? So we could walk through a brief example, but that's kind of the big picture of it, continuing to use 1031 exchanges to not pay that tax, move it into effectively your wealth, and then that could effectively be gone or eliminated by using now the step up in basis to your heirs.
Ryan, would you mind giving a quick example of how that works with the 1031 exchange? And then we'll go ahead and summarize everything we discussed here today, put a nice little bow on everything.
Yeah. So I'll try to keep this simple because this could get complex with numbers and you can't maybe see this. But imagine that you are going to take a property that you're considering selling and you are going to have a tax due from selling this property of, say, $50,000. Okay. If you do a successful 1031 exchange, you are effectively, instead of paying that to the IRS, okay, now that money's gone essentially forever, you are actually now moving that $50,000 of gain tax into the new property, okay? So now you've pushed up your wealth into a property that you continue to own, okay? So now if we continue to do that, think, okay, 10 years later or 5 years later, we've got another, say, $50,000 of tax, plus the one before, right? Because this continues to add up. The more that we kind of have this delineation between your cost and your ultimate kind of sale price, this growth, this gain, and therefore the tax is going to continue to be multiplying, right? So if we continue to do that, by the end, we are essentially going to have potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars of potential tax that's now pushed into the properties, whereby, again, that now is not being paid to the government. It's now in the real estate itself, and therefore your heirs are then receiving that and not having to pay the tax. Let me pause. I feel like I would have needed to like pull up a spreadsheet to like actually walk through a good example.
Hey, you know what? We're going to actually go ahead and skip the example if you do want a fuller breakdown on the 1031 exchange and other strategies you can use to make a tax-efficient exit. Go check out our previous episode a few weeks ago, 7 tax-efficient exit strategies, and you'll get a full breakdown there. But we're going to go ahead and summarize this episode, and then we'll be on our way for this week. All right, so first things first, right? When you have earned income, income from a job or a business, it's highly taxed. It's considered ordinary income. Tax up to federal tax rates of up to 37%. Then you have state taxes, local taxes, and FICA taxes, and can easily put you between 40 to 50% in your tax rate, where you're paying 40 to 50% on each additional dollar you earn. So again, if you were to earn, say your effective tax rate was 40% and you were to earn $55,000, you're going to pay $22,000 in taxes on that, right? However, if you were to earn that same $55,000 from real estate, it's often going to be sheltered from tax thanks to the non-cash expense called depreciation. So you tell the IRS, hey, I lost money, but you actually pocketed $55,000 that you did not pay tax on. So in other words, you paid $0 in taxes. And again, right here, this is the core of what makes real estate so tax advantaged, even when you're not a real estate professional or using the short-term rental strategy, okay? That is the big takeaway. But then the question often becomes, well, hey, great, I'm making all this money now, I'm not paying any taxes on it, but eventually I have to pay the piper, right? Eventually I'm gonna have to pay Uncle Sam the depreciation recapture tax when I sell the property. And we're saying here, not so fast. There's 7 tax-efficient exit strategies you can use. Many of them will help mitigate or defer the depreciation recapture on sale, including the ever popular 1031 exchange. And if you do this throughout your lifetime, you take the long-term view and not just a short-term view, you take a long-term view of real estate. You can do this over and over and over again and build this massive portfolio. And we have clients who've done this. This is not a pipe dream. It's easier said than done. Not going to lie about that. But we have clients who've done this. And you have this massive bucket of assets, this massive net worth that you built for you and presumably your family using this strategy. And then when you pass away, if you structure your estate correctly, your heirs can actually get these assets at the stepped up value or stepped up basis at the fair market value the day of your death. And if they go and sell the property, they're wiping out all of the depreciation, all of the capital gains taxes you would have paid had you sold this property or properties during your lifetime. And this is the true engine, the true value of investing in real estate. And that's what we're trying to drive home today. It's not all about reps. It's not all about the short-term rental loophole. And there's so many more benefits to investing in real estate than just those 2 strategies. With all that being said, we are accepting clients for the 2023 and 2024 tax years. So if you're looking for a new CPA, there's no better time than now. You get the conversation started by going to www.therealestatecpa.com/podcast, request an initial consultation. We'd love to learn more about your situation and how we can help. And also, with now April 15th behind us, tax season is over for us accountants, at least for now. If you're looking to make a switch, this is the time to do it. You want to change in pace, you want to start over fresh, we are hiring. So you go on over to www.therealestatecpa.com/careers. Go ahead and apply today. We'd love to learn more about you as well. But with that being said, we'll catch you on next week's episode of the Tax Smart REI podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's show. If you enjoyed the show, please find us on iTunes and leave us a review. You can also email us at contact@therealestatecpa.com with any feedback or topic suggestions. We are always taking on new clients, and with the new tax laws in play, you really don't want to navigate this alone. Let us help you save money on taxes and with your accounting and CFO needs. To become a client, navigate to our client page at therealestatecpa.com and fill out a web form with as much detail about your situation as possible. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your week.